Welcome to Yes Catholic, the place where real people share their real stories and realize it is all God's grace on the move. I'm your host, David Patterson, and every week we hear a new guest share their story of how they came to give their yes to Jesus and his church. So let's get started.
Sure, absolutely. So right now, I run an Instagram account called Truth Charting. Its main mission is to show young people that being Catholic isn't boring. That's the current mission right now. What we do is we try to make content that is comparable to secular media. So what I do is I go out and I find the most compelling and most successful content creators in the secular realm, and I try to Catholicize it. Just make it interesting and try to find cool things happening within the Catholic Church that are very exciting and highlight those for young people. It's been an absolute blast just the past 2 years, because I get to just do, I've always wanted to be a YouTuber since I was middle schooler. So it was absolute joy, but yeah, that's the main mission right now. And, it's really starting to, it just started being my full-time job last year. So, it's a joy.
Well, let's get to know you a little more with the rapid fire youth ministry. You're ready for this.
Yeah.
All right. Describe yourself as a kid in 3 words.
Okay. Fun, happy, and hyper.
Hyper? Okay. Would you say you're a morning person or a night owl?
Morning person.
Morning person? Like to wake up early? Okay. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Teleportation.
It's funny. That's been a common response. It's
good. Yeah.
Still want to be on a plane for hours and hours to get to a different country.
Travel is the bit. Yeah. I like traveling, but I don't like flying that much.
Understood. Okay. Go to order at a coffee shop.
Iced vanilla latte.
Could it be seasonal? Do you switch it up based on season?
I do subscribe to the pumpkin spice latte when it's in season. That is my, and I'm proud to say it.
No judgment here tonight. It's all good. Go to short prayer.
Maybe the Animacristi.
Animacristi?
Soul of Christ, sanctify me, that one.
Do you ever have a prayer as you're editing? Just curious.
Ooh, great question. No, not usually. Not like a rote one. Very often before I film, I will ask the Holy Spirit to come in, but it'll usually just be kind of like a freestyle.
Come Holy Spirit kind of deal?
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Okay. Do you have a favorite book of all time or one of?
Ooh, great question. The Bronze Bow was one that I read pretty early on. That was one of the first books I ever read, was The Bronze Bow. Do you know about it?
I don't know.
Okay. It was pretty cool. It's like a historical fiction about a kid who grew up at the same time as Jesus was walking around. So Jesus has a cameo in the story, but it's not about him. It's about this kid.
Interesting. Cool. So it's a kid's book?
Yeah. Well, it's like a young adult situation.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. All right, if you could have coffee with any saint, who would it be?
Blessed Carlo Acutis.
Yeah, that was your quote, right?
Yeah. Big devotion to Blessed Carlo Acutis. He's kind of one of the main motivators behind what I do.
Yeah. Did you ask for his intercession as you go about your day as well?
Not on my day-to-day. I wish I did. I should more. The main story there was when he got beatified, I was watching his live stream and I was just bawling my eyes out, because he was, there was a sense of he was just an ordinary kid who just accepted God's grace at every moment he could. And then he was inspiring tons and tons of, millions of people around the world. And me, just another kid around the world in America, a couple years after he passed away. And then I had the opportunity to go to Italy and sit next to his grave. And just a very, very beautiful moment in prayer there regarding Truth Charting and the mission that I feel called to and what he did with creating his website on Eucharistic Miracles.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe he is a powerful intercessor for our generation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, last one. If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
Why did you make mosquitoes?
Right? Get that.
Yeah.
Especially up here in Canada, man. It's next level.
Oh, are they bad up there?
I mean, it depends where you are, but
yeah. They're slower up north. The mosquitoes down here in Florida, they're like, yeah. they zip, they go really fast and they're a little bit smaller. But whenever okay. I go up to Ohio, those things are huge. Just fun little fact for you. Tuesday night.
Little fun fact of the day. All right, man. Well, you flew through the rapid fire. Let's kick things off with an opening prayer.
Yeah.
And then we'll have you share your story. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, man, let's dive right in. Where does your story begin?
Yeah, so I grew up in a really pretty devout Catholic family here in Orlando, Florida. And it was homeschooled growing up, so I had a lot of free time. I would finish my schoolwork usually around like 10 or 11 or something like that. So I would have a lot of free time. And yeah. Yeah, man. Homeschooling is goated, low-key. Everyone should look into it. Well, not everyone should do it, but it's it worked out very well for me. I can always vouch for it.
This is not a paid sponsorship, but go on.
Yeah, so really beautiful family, really wonderful parents. And then I have three siblings. I'm the youngest. And we would go to this camp every year since I was one, this camp up in Ohio called the Apostolate for Family Consecration. And this camp was just like a Catholic campground where you could go on retreat with your family for a whole week. And so everyone who's there is like, this is their vacation for the year. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful place. It was my favorite place in the world. I mean, these people were wonderful people. It was always a blast, and everyone's always in a good mood because like they're on vacation. We're here to have a good time, to go to daily mass, to pray together, to, you know, be as a family and to hang out with your friends.
Right.
So I had this wonderful view growing up of this extraordinary goodness that existed within Catholicism, this extraordinary beauty within Catholic community as well. So I got to see that growing up, and then I would come home to Orlando, and Orlando is a pretty like new diocese. There's not a whole lot of Catholic history in Orlando just because it's a new city period. Mm-hmm. So there was wonderful, wonderful people down here as well that we were really good friends with. But I always would point to that camp as being the place where I really was introduced to like dedicated, devout Catholic community. And, just like I was able to see so much vibrance and life in the spirit up at that camp. So I was involved with my youth group as well. It was pretty typical, like Catholic youth group kid. And then when I was 17, I went up and I volunteered at that camp. And this is like when stuff really started to like start a fire in me, was I got to experience the Holy Spirit doing beautiful things in the lives of these young people at the camp, in the lives of the whole families, you know, watching people really just get healed from like stuff that they were dealing with their parents on adoration night. Their parents would like write them letters and stuff. And we would get to see just a lot of young people have wonderful experiences with the Lord there. So I came home from volunteering at that camp, which was a life-changing experience. And I, that was probably the best summer of my life. And the most, even though I was high school missionary. So like we had a pretty strict chaperone system. Like camp counselor system, like it was strict. Basically, we weren't considered to like have a whole lot of freedom, but that was, for me, that was my first time spending anything over a week away from home without my parents. So for me, it was a very freeing experience. And so that's like my first thing that I point to is like me making my faith my own and like choosing it and being like, yep, this is for me.
Yeah. Making it personal.
Exactly. Yeah. Came home, continued helping out at retreats, with my local parish. And I had known from the age of 8 that I wanted to go into filmmaking because I was homeschooled. And when I was done with school, I would watch YouTube tutorials on, you know, how to film and how to edit and how to do visual effects. So,
but how did that start? Like, what inspired you to actually just decide to go on YouTube and start looking that up?
Well, there is a movie called The Crocodile Hunter with Steve Irwin. And I watched the behind, we had like the DVD with the special features on it, and I would watch the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I saw a green screen and I was fascinated by the fact that like they could just replace the background. So my entire like filmmaking journey started with me trying to do green screen work on my Gateway 4 gigabyte RAM PC at home, which was just like, yeah, it was a blast. It was very slow, but I did, I did learn how to do it, you know? So that's how it began. And that's where my interest began in it. And then it just all took off from there. By the time it was time for me to graduate high school, I was really dead set on doing film, but I wasn't sure if like film school was going to be the vibe. And my mother was a incredible intercessor for us. My mother was constantly praying for us, as was my father. Really good parents. I can't stress that enough. And so one day, and I knew that she had been praying about this, I was visiting film schools. I had flown out to California to check one out, but it wasn't like, I was like, it's okay, I guess, but I don't feel like I wouldn't. Yeah, I just wasn't vibing with it, I guess.
I'm feeling it.
We get a letter in the mail, and it wasn't in an envelope. It had just been like put in there. It was like just like a no stamp, nothing, just like a piece of paper. And it was a letter that said like, I'm a location scout for TV shows and commercials. We're filming something nearby, and we would like to use your property to park our catering trucks on. We're going to have like a crew of 50 here. And so it was a letter basically asking my parents to rent their property out to like have as a base camp for a nearby television show. And so my mother contacted them and basically said, if you let my son intern on your set, next, you know, in the coming weeks, we'll let you guys use our property. And so they rented our property. I was invited to be an intern on the shoot. And after that, they invited me to come back for their shoot that was at a different location. And then after that, they started hiring me as a production assistant to just work on commercials and
mama knows. So,
yeah. and that was like a really, really big deal. 'Cause people are going to film school just to get an opportunity like that. And it just was quite literally handed to me. That's one thing that I'm very grateful and really attribute to the intercession of my mom. So I started working freelance film gigs, commercials, TV shows, movies, stuff like that here in Orlando. Decided not to go to film school because I was already working my way up in it. Oh, it was scary. It's pretty cutthroat, the film industry. So it can be cutthroat, especially in LA. The Orlando film industry is a little bit more chill. But it was a little bit interesting because I was homeschooled and Catholic growing up, so not necessarily like used to the secular way of life. There was a little bit of like getting used to secular workforce stuff. And the language on film sets can be pretty like, you know, it's it's film. It's, you know, there's not a whole lot of like morals going on there.
Sure.
And actually one day we were working on a commercial for an insurance company, and there was like a Ouija board on set. Yeah. And it was after like an 18-hour day that I had been there, and I had gotten there at 5 a.m. and it was nearing like 1 a.m. now. I don't know if I did that math right, but I realized that I was putting my heart and soul, blood, sweat, and tears into this, the film industry, trying to work my way up. And Like, I just can't get behind the stuff that we're making. Like, the stuff we're making, like, I have no say over. A lot of it's just like corny commercials. And yeah, the experience was really cool. I loved getting to see, you know, 50 person sets with super duper expensive equipment and lights and stuff like that. But I just couldn't get behind the content we were making. So I decided to kind of like take a step back and just try to be more selective with the jobs that I took in film, and yeah. Began working for my, my pastor offered me a job at our parish as a communications coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a wonderful season. I actually really, really enjoyed working for the parish. So I would make the bulletin, run the website, social media, videos, all that stuff. Yeah. Really good stuff. So I worked there for 3 years. By the third year, I had started going full-time there and was also added as a youth minister at the church. So it was like a co-youth coordinator.
You're doing communications and youth ministry at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like the parish resident young person. So I was just kind of like, yeah, all the tech stuff I would take care of. And then also all of like some of the youth ministry stuff that I had like a, basically, the way that the youth ministry thing worked was I would kind of like plan the youth nights and MC them. And then I had a co-youth minister that would take care of like all of the logistics of it, which was like, honestly, it was a blast. I didn't have to worry about how the food got there or like how the permission slips got signed. I just got to show up and make the content for the night. But
you must have been busy juggling all that. I mean, I was a youth minister for like close to 7 years. That's a it's a lot right there.
Yeah, it was a lot. We had a pretty small youth group. It wasn't like a huge deal. But I also had some help in the communications department by the time that I started doing youth ministry as well.
That's good.
So one day I got a call while I was working at the church. It was from a family friend that we knew from that camp that I had grown up going to. His name is John Andrew O'Rourke. He owns a production company, and he had ran across some TikTok that I had made in 2020, and it had nothing to do with the faith. It was just like a funny TikTok where I bought a billboard in the TikTok just for a meme, and it showed up on his For You page, and it was like, he was just really impressed by the creativity and the fact that it was very outside the box.
Yeah.
And I hadn't talked to him in years, but he knew I was in the film. So he called me and he just asked like what I was up to. He told me he was really impressed with like the fact that he saw my video on TikTok. And we began conversations over the next few weeks about, basically, he just saw potential in me. And really encouraged me to take a leap of faith, and to just really get back into film in a very dedicated way. So I expressed my desire to him, like my main desire, like if I could be doing whatever I wanted right now, I would start a YouTube channel that was a Catholic YouTube channel that showed people that being Catholic isn't boring. And I would, do you know the YouTube channel Yes Theory?
Not familiar, man. No.
Okay. There's a YouTube channel called Yes Theory, and it's a group of guys who just travel around the world and do really crazy stuff. They'll do like 24 hours in Paris with no wallet, and they just get like sent there. Okay. All they have is their passport, and they like don't have anything, and they have to like find a place to stay and have to ask strangers to buy food for them, things like that. So they do these really interesting things, and they were getting very successful at the time. So I was like, okay, so there's a market for it. Their format of video works. People watch it. It gets views. And they're secular, but they're encouraging people to get outside their comfort zone. Their entire like motto was seek discomfort. Mm. So, and I was like, I love that. If I could steal it, I would. That's when I told John Andrew, like, yeah, if I could be doing anything I wanted, that's what I would be doing. And John Andrew encouraged me to take the leap of faith. He said, John, I'm 30 now. and you're 21. And if I could tell myself at 21 anything, I would say, take more risks. Take the risk now. Take it early on. Because if you're 21 and you go broke and you go live with your parents again, nobody cares. You're 21. That's expected. But if you're 30 and you go broke and you go live with your parents, then it's a little bit different. It was scary, but I went for it. I quit my job at the parish, which I loved, but I just felt like a fire, and I felt like I could do more. So I started working.
Did you feel a sense of peace when you made that decision to take that leap? Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah. Yeah. It was also like, I did love my job at the parish. It was also stressful, and in some ways it was hard to see. And this is where truth charting like came out of was I would see 80, 90 kids a year go through confirmation class. And that was their only view of Catholicism was the classroom. And that's like, that's not the catechist's fault. That's not the DRE's fault. That's not necessarily even the parish's fault. You could look at the parents. You could say like, why do we not see these kids at Sunday mass? But what I realized is like the kids live on the phone. And the statistics show that the kids in that age range are spending 7 to 8 hours a day on their phone. Yeah. So my brain started like churning, and I was like, okay, how can I show them the vibrant view of Catholicism that I had growing up? How can I show them this like exciting and not boring and really fun way of life? Like how can I bring that to them? And there was an amazing opportunity there with YouTube, with online content, for me to be able to tell a really good story and put it in front of them. So I thought about it. I was like, okay, like when you start any business, you think about, where is my target audience? Like, where does my target audience live? Mm-hmm. If you're gonna sell military surplus, it makes sense to go near a military base. For me, if I'm wanna mission to young people, they live on the internet. So it makes sense to start the business there. Yeah. So I started truth charting based off of Yes Theory. And we, I think, I'm trying to remember what our first video was. So John Andrew basically kind of joined the team, and just, he was like a mentor for me. And he got me a lot of film work to pay the bills basically while I was trying to build truth charting up. So for the past 2 years, I've been doing freelance film work, camera operation in the Catholic promotional film, sector. So I left secular film and went into just Catholic stuff, which is like travel shoots, maybe like 5 to 10 people crews, at most. Yeah. But, and that was also a blast. I loved that too. So we just started making these fun YouTube videos. I would go out to these caves with my friends, and we would do a worship session inside the cave and film and record it. And then we would go make our own retreat out in the woods and record that. And then, one time on the way to the retreat, we got caught in a flash flood, and the Lord just started like offering storylines to me as I would be out on these, like these fun little adventures that I was filming. The Lord just began to confirm that what I was doing was, you know, probably his will, because of the storylines that he was like offering me for what I was doing. Yeah. And it was just like a little bit too convenient. So I was like, okay, Lord, I will continue if this is what you want. I had an opportunity to go to Peru, a couple years ago. And that was a really big like turning point in my life. Basically I didn't have a passport and I didn't have the money to go. And I told my mom about this opportunity, and my mom is like kind of she was the worry type. She would be like, you know, John, maybe you should just stay in the country. That was kind of like my mom's main like function, was like she would worry about her children, and she like didn't really want us to go do dangerous things. But when I told her about this mission trip, she was like, I think you should go. And wow. I was like, okay, if my mom, the worrier, is telling me to go on this mission trip, like there must be something spiritual going on that I should really read into. Yeah. So I looked into how I could get a passport in 2 weeks. And that's like pretty miraculous. That's a tough thing to do, to get a passport that quickly. And I was able to just like pull some strings and like buy a plane ticket. Like I just bought the cheapest international plane ticket I could buy. And I showed up in Miami at the passport office with a plane ticket. And I was like, I have a plane that leaves in 72 hours. Can I get a passport?
What?
And that worked. So, yeah, you have to make appointment, and there's some other things, but it did work. Yeah. I got my passport, and then, a very generous, couple that we know from our parish, just like they found out that I was going, and they're like, oh yeah, we'll sponsor you. Like we'll pay for your trip. Yeah. It was an absolute joy. So I went on that trip, and the trip's on my YouTube channel. It was really fun and adventurous and beautiful and spiritual. And when I came home, I ended up moving in into a house with all of the guys that I went on that mission trip with. Like all of the guys that were on that trip, we all moved into the same house when we came back to Orlando. And that's where I live now. That's where I'm recording.
Oh, yeah.
It's this men's house. I live with 7 other guys. I think if they're still here, they're downstairs watching this live. Nice. On the TV.
What's up, boys?
yeah. Shout out to Jacob's work. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of the story, and that's kind of where I am now. And then just recently, about a year ago, I had an opportunity. One of my roommates got married and moved out, and he went to Italy, and they were planning to meet the Pope. So they also flew me out to take photos with them, photos for them. And so I made some truth shredding content while I was out there. That's when I got to sit next to Blessed Carlo Acutis's tomb. And this was another like really big turning point for truth shredding was basically I sat there and I had such a beautiful experience while I was in Italy because I didn't get a SIM card on purpose. I just didn't want to use my phone. So the only time I could use my phone is if I could like find Wi-Fi up there.
Right.
And so I just had this beautiful experience off of my phone, and I was walking around Italy in the beautiful countryside in Assisi. So I was just sitting there next to Carlo Acutis's tomb, like praying about like, is what I'm doing actually good for humanity? Like, is what I'm doing with online content actually encouraging people to use their phones more? Is this bad? Is this like, is what I'm doing like ultimately just what I want? Is it just for the fame? Is it just for the clout? Is it just because I always wanted to be a YouTuber? And I just asked that question, and like, I just got answers immediately. And I was like, no, it was like, it was like, I looked at a beatified saint, soon to be saint right in front of me. Yeah. Who had created a website documenting Eucharistic miracles to try to show people that the Eucharist is real and that Jesus was serious when he was talking about it in the Bible.
Yeah.
And it was just a justification. It was like, it was a permission slip for me to be doing what I'm doing. And it was, I wept in a really big way once again. And that just really solidified that connection with Blessed Carlo Acutis that I had already felt during his beatification about a year prior.
And was there a word that you received during that time that led you to tears?
Yeah, I think it was. It was just like the permission, because until that point, I had always been wrestling with this like, this doesn't seem like there's like a whole lot of support or encouragement in this area because there's so much pushback on social media in the Catholic world. Like you'll tell somebody you run a social media ministry and usually they'll be like, oh yeah, I don't use social media. That's good. Don't. But like there's a certain calling and there's people there, and where there are people, there are often people called to be missionaries to those people. And so, that was just a huge permission slip and justification that like what I'm doing is okay. And not only is it okay, but it is in fact what I'm called to do. So that's why I cried, was because I was like kind of unsure about that until that moment when it was like really just confirmed. And the Lord asked me to go about it in a radical way, in a totally surrendered way, and in a like all in. It was about going all in. And so I think in that moment I was just kind of like, I was like looking for something radical to do. And my hair was about as long as it is now when I was there. So I just like, as soon as I was done with Blessed Carlo Acutis, I went up to the balcony in the Airbnb that I was staying in. I just like shaved. I didn't shave my head, but I like cut my hair. I cut a bunch of my hair off just as like a radical step to remind myself that that happened. So that was a really cool, and it was also just super dramatic. And I'm kind of like that, you know, I like to just make dramatic moves to remind myself, and also just as like symbolic gestures, I think are really important. So
being all in. I love that image that you used in the recent video about the island. You kind of want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that image that you used, man. It was fire.
Thank you. Yeah, the image is basically Gen Z uses the internet as if it's a place that they go. It's it's no longer like a tool that you use every once in a while, but this is really a place that we live. For better or for worse, we're doing business here. We're playing here. We're entertained here. We're connecting with people here. We're talking to people. Basically, almost everything that you do in the real world, they're making ways for you to do it online. And so more and more people are going to live there. Is that a good thing? Is a great question. And like the answer is pretty obvious, probably not. But the fact of the matter is like there's people there. And even if there's an island that's going to sink and it has thousands and thousands of people on it, it seems consistent with the Lord's heart that he would send missionaries to that island to make sure that those people know the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
So basically the question that was raised to me a couple of years ago from a friend was like, do we sanctify the island or do we evacuate it? Do we try to make this island like a Catholic place? Do we try to baptize it and make it beautiful and try to, you know, push down all the sin and the crap that's on the internet and try to uphold the goodness? Or do we just try to get everyone off of it? Are we just there? Are we only on the island to try to ship people off of it? And then when you read some of the church documents on new evangelization, it's not really saying that this is a bad thing. It's saying that actually we have a great opportunity here with the internet. And so I think the answer to the question is both. I think we're trying to sanctify the island, and we're also trying to make sure that people realize that this isn't real life. This is like you shouldn't live here because it's not the life that God gave you. This is a man-made virtual reality. And it can be used in a good way. And that's what we, that's what we try to do. You and I, and a bunch of other really awesome Catholic creators that we get to work with here. But I think the answer to your question is both. We need to try to make this a better place and also get people to go live a life.
I love that. Yeah. And how did you come up with the, I don't know if you shared already, but you came up with the name of Truth Charting.
Yeah. The name came to be when in conversations with my older brother, Jim, and my confirmation sponsor, Joseph. We were going to start like a trio with it. Eventually, it ended up just being me because they both got jobs and went, you know, did what they had to do. We made a couple pillars of what we wanted this to be like. And Truth Charting really resonated with me because of the word charting is like discovering. You get to go adventure and make a map. Like that's what charting means, is to go like chart uncharted territory. You're making a map of an area that is already there, but you're going to discover it. And wow. Then what are we charting? Like it's truth. We want to bring people to the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is that life with Christ is an absolute bonkers adventure, and it's not boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's amazing. Sorry, I didn't know that part. That's fire. Yeah.
Thank you.
Like the uncharted territory in the digital as a digital mm-hmm. missionary. Yeah. Did not mm-hmm. realize that. I love that explanation. One of the questions that came in earlier in the week was, how do you edit your videos? What inspires your storytelling style?
Nice.
Want to speak to that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I edit my videos. What I do when I'm searching for editing techniques is I will try to find the best of the best in the secular realm of social media, Instagram, YouTube. One of the things I didn't mention was that somewhere along the lines, it was right around where I had visited Blessed Carlo's tomb. I switched from making long form YouTube videos to making short form videos on Instagram and TikTok. And that is when truth charting actually gained popularity and became my full-time job a few months later, was because of that pivot from long form to short form. And we hope to get back to long form eventually, but right now the short form is working really good. So basically it was a point where I realized that the Gen Z as a whole watches short form way more. And so that's when the pivot was made. I started looking for editors and content creators that were making short form content really, really well and really, really high quality, and made their viewers feel invested into. That was kind of what I was looking for when I was looking for like reference creators. So I basically just gathered a bunch of techniques from some of the high quality creators that I had found in the secular world, and I started implementing them in my own talking head videos. And one of my favorite ones that I actually really want to touch on is all of my talking head videos. They have an AI generated ceiling and an AI generated desk. And so the only part of the video that is actually filmed on my camera is this section that you see right here. And then everything above. So that's why if you go by and you look through all of my talking head videos on my channel, on my Instagram account, you'll see that like the ceiling is going to be different in pretty much every one. So that's just a fun little Easter egg that a few people have noticed, but it's a really fun technique that I like to use. Basically, what that enables me to do is if I ever did want to upload this video to YouTube as well as Instagram, I have it filmed horizontally on my camera so I can upload it to YouTube horizontally. And then I can AI create the top and bottom to make it portrait mode for Instagram, TikTok, stuff like that.
Genius. You were at C24.
I was.
What was that like, man? You want to speak to that?
Yeah.
You got an iconic photo that we shared on Yes Catholic. I mean, it's been shared everywhere, let's be honest. But yeah, speak in general.
Yeah. So a couple weeks leading up to Seek, I knew I was going, and I was trying to think of content ideas. And my friend Kuba had called me and basically offered to come film for me just because he wanted to really be a part of it. And I was really honored by that. So Kuba and I had some conversations leading up to it. Kuba's also really into the YouTube space and social media. And we were thinking of like, what can we do so we can make a daily video at Seek and keep people invested in like some kind of overarching storyline? And somewhere along the lines, we landed on, what if we like broke the world record for the most amount of dApps ever given in a week? Yeah. And so I started searching Google. Has this ever been done before? Has anyone ever like actually dapped? The closest thing I could find was the most amount of handshakes ever given in a day. And I think it was Teddy Roosevelt or something with 8,000. So I was like, but that's not a dap. So we were all clear to like go for it. I sent an application to Guinness World Records. And then we flew out to St. Louis, and I was pretty nervous, just because like, if that doesn't land, then it's just kind of cringe. Like if this doesn't land, then it's just going to be me making a fool of myself, holding a sign that says world record dApps. And then I like, maybe I had like 300 and I'm like, oh, this is going to be, that could be bad. You know, that could be really embarrassing. But the first video that I posted the day before Seek, like it performed all right. I think a lot of people that went to Seek did see that video. And so, you know, day one came around, and just by the time that I walked into Mission Way, there was already like a about 10 people who had recognized me from the video and like lined up to dap me up. And just within the first few seconds of starting the world record, we were already really racking them up.
Crazy. But how'd you keep track of all the dabs? Like, you had a counter?
Yeah, actually, I don't.
Do you have it?
Yeah, I do have it. Right now, it's at 5,000. Well, we had 6,200. It must have got reset at some point. But yeah, this is a clicker that I had in my left hand.
Are you still keeping that thing going? Like, what's happening here?
I should have, but no. At some point, it got messed up. So I guess not. I could have just counted every single dap that I've made this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, by day, was it day two or day? Yeah, it must have just been on day two. I got a call from Focus, and Father Mike had been following truth charting for a couple months before. So he knew about truth charting. The moment that I found out Father Mike followed my account, I threw my phone across the room and told everyone I knew. It was like a mom, I made it moment. Then here I was day two at Seek and got a call from Focus, and the lady on the phone said, John, we've received a request. And I started to fill in the dots, and I was like, they're going to ask me to stop doing the DAP thing. You know, it's causing too much of a ruckus. Like, they're going to ask me to stop, I bet. And she's we received a request from Father Mike and his team. Like, he would like to meet you and maybe make some content or something. Is that something that you'd be open for? And I was like,
sorry, what?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And then the next day we set a time and I met Father Mike Schmitz, and he was the 5,000th DAP, which was our goal. That's what we were going for.
That was the 5,000th DAP.
Yeah. Yeah, Father Mike Schmitz was the 5,000th DAP.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was an absolute blast. He shared it on his Instagram account. And so that video got a lot of people saw that video. And so day three, day four, and day five, basically a good portion of people at Seek knew about the DAP world record. And we just racked up a whole lot of DAPs. And we overshot our goal by a good bit. So Seek 24 was a really awesome moment, and very humbling. I got to experience meeting people who had known about my work. These people knew what I did. There was a guy I met there, I think his name was Ian. He said, bro, you're the reason I'm here at Seek. I saw one of your videos. You're the reason I'm Catholic. He said, I saw one of your videos. I went to my Newman Center and got involved. And now wow. I'm involved with my Newman Center and I'm here.
Praise God.
And that was just another one of those moments that was just a permission slip that the Lord is working through what I'm doing. And that is really humbling, because the only thing that I have to do with it is the surrender. The only thing that I have to do with it is allowing God's grace to work through me, if I can. And so that was just really beautiful. And it was a really, really great experience at Seek.
Yeah. Speaking of adventure, right? Life with Christ is truly a wonderful adventure.
Amen.
Advice for someone who wants to start being a digital missionary. Thoughts there, John?
The most realistic and hard piece of advice that I got from John Andrew early on when I first started truth charting was commit to it for 2 years. It's so easy for you to have fire in the beginning, make content for 3 months and not get anywhere, get 2 views on your content. And then for you to just be like, well, it didn't work, I tried, and then give up. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the name of the game when you're working with social media and YouTube. It's commitment, it's consistency, that's the reason that truth charting is my full-time job right now, is because I committed to doing it for 2 years before I was allowed to give up on it. And giving up was not necessarily an option because the calling was pretty confirmed. But that really helped on just the mind, on the mental aspect of it, knowing that even though I was 6 months in and I think a year in and really not getting a whole lot of traction, not making not making any money from it. So not it being my full-time job, you know, I wasn't able to dedicate as much time because there wasn't a whole bunch of money coming in just a year in. And then that second year rolled around and then the growth came with that. And I think we're on the third year now, and now things are just like are really picking up. So my advice to someone who wants to get into being a digital missionary would be commit to 2 years about, like, commit to doing it for 2 years and don't give up until you're 2 years. And then my second piece of advice is be ready to pivot. The social media landscape changes like every 3 months. So just be ready to pivot. There could be a new social media platform that gets created next year. And then you have to figure out how to make content in that format and how you navigate that. That's what happened with me. Was I was trying to make a YouTube channel, but then all of my target audience stopped watching YouTube and started watching short form content right. on Instagram. So right. I had to pivot. So those are my two main pieces of advice.
Yeah. I was shaking my head because that algorithm, you just got to
tough
you gotta
stuff.
Roll, yeah. You got to roll with it, right?
Yeah. Here's a really fun thing that helped me out too, was realizing that when you instead of trying to hit the algorithm right, especially with Catholic content, because algorithms don't tend to favor religious content, I would say, focus on shareability instead. So with Instagram particularly, you can share any post to any story. So try to focus on what message can I bring forward that young Catholics really, really, really want to share with their friends. And so the message that being Catholic actually is not boring and cringe and corny, like, that message is something that young Catholics really want to bring forward. And so when I started trying to focus on that, like, what kind of shareable message can I give here? Then stories, like those reels basically would get posted to more people's stories. And that helped with just like the numbers. And it's also important to realize that not everyone is called to the numbers game. Like, not everyone is called to try to like rack up a lot of numbers. Some people are called to different ways of evangelism on the internet. And some of that is like, maybe your account isn't even public. Maybe you're evangelizing to your friends on the internet, on your private Instagram account, just through your story, sharing the gospel with them. So when I talk about numbers and I talk about the business side of being a social media influencer and stuff like that, I feel very called to do that. I feel very called to pursue excellence in business and in ministry and in social media influencing. Like, that's something that, like, I think is a call that I have and a lot of other people have, but it might not be like the goal for everyone. And it certainly doesn't have to be. Likes don't equal like how effective your ministry is.
Yes. Yeah. It's just different people being part of the body of Christ, different gifts, different talents. And yeah, absolutely. All right. Last question of the night. What is your hope for the future of our church?
Yeah, my hope for the future of our church is that our young people are filled with so much fire and joy, that people in the secular world just start seeing us. And maybe it's not through like how unique and like awesome our theology is. Maybe it's just like they see how much we love life and how much we love each other. And maybe they see the fire in us, and maybe they see the hope that we have in our hearts, and maybe they see the ways that we love them, even though they don't agree with us. My hope for the future of the church is that like the secular world starts looking at Catholics and just seeing like, what are they doing right? And so I guess maybe, yeah, just like, how can we as a church dive into that hope and joy and put our money where our mouth is and really dive into ministry to one another too.
Hmm. Amen to that. Well, on a note, brother, I just want to thank you so much for your yes to Jesus and his church. It's just a gift. Man, I learned stuff tonight. Truth charting, didn't realize the significance of that. Your stories, man, were just incredible. So thank you for taking the time to share tonight. If people want to connect and learn more, how can they go about doing that, man?
Yeah, truthcharting.com is the website. And you can find the YouTube channel. That's just Truth Charting. And then Instagram and TikTok at Truth Charting. That's all.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not going to lie, man. I've totally watched your videos and I've thought as I'm watching them, like, teach me your ways, Obi-Wan. I mean, like, I don't know if down the road you can do some kind of online course teaching how to go to the next level of social media and whatnot, but man, you've got the skills down.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, thanks again. Would you be willing to close us in prayer tonight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I just pray for our young people within your church. And I pray that you would instill in the hearts of all within your church, particularly the youth, just a unique love for you and a unique love for your plan for them. A unique love for the journey that you have for them, the adventure that you're calling them to. Lord, I pray over our entire generation, our entire world, Christian or not, that you would just break into their lives in a way that would make them realize that that what you are calling them to is not boring, and that what you are calling them to is a beautiful, adventurous journey that is unto ultimately a life lived loving you forever. And we ask you this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the ministry, please share with others, post about it on social media, or please leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest stories, you can follow us on Instagram at yes.catholic and visit our website, yescatholic.com. If you have benefited from Yes Catholic, please consider joining our Patreon community. Visit patreon.com/yescatholic. I would like to thank our current patrons for your ongoing prayers, support, and contributions that have helped Yes Catholic reach thousands of souls all over the world each week. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you." You have a story. Don't be afraid to share the good news of how Jesus Christ has moved in your life with a family member, friend, or colleague. Give Jesus your yes every single day and watch the ripple effect of the gospel. Join us next week. The journey continues right here at Yes Catholic.